Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Peter chapter 3, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 3. As I mentioned, we're getting away from Exodus right now. The Lord put this on my heart. I was thinking a lot about it, and I just feel that God would have me share it with you this morning, what he was dealing with me. So 1 Peter chapter 3, if you would. And we're going to be looking at a specific verse. I'll catch you up on the context of the verse in just a moment. What do I mean when I say catch you up on the context? Understand that any verse is never necessarily meant to be a standalone verse apart from the Word of God. You've got to take every verse that's there and see how was it put in the whole together there. And so I will update you on that in just a moment. Before we look at the verse itself, the fact of the matter is there are always interesting situations in life with human relations. I want you to think about the different people that are in your life right now. And for some of you, there's a lot of different areas. There's home life, right? Think of the people in your home. Think of those people. In some cases, some of you are saying, well, it's just me. There are people around us, maybe close family members that come see us and we're with. But outside of our home, outside of our family, extended family kind of gets more broad. Then we have, in some of your cases, you have work, people that you work with. In some cases, it is friends, people that you just acquaint yourself with from time to time. There's certainly the people in church. There's and right here. And that are the people that you have relations with in a certain way. And then, of course, beyond that, then there are things, there are clubs that you might be a part of. There are your people that you see throughout the week. Maybe you're shopping. Maybe there's a certain checkout person that you often see and you have a conversation going on with them. But all of us have people in our lives that we have, at different levels, relationships with. The reality is that at any given point, there could be difficult relationships there. It could be a struggle. You think about anybody in the world right now, including a spouse, and no matter how close you are, isn't there always potential for struggle? The truth is yes, there's always potential for struggle. There's not a person on this, on this world, that on this earth, that I say, oh, that never happens. You know, even a spouse. There's some times when there's conflict, and it needs to be resolved. Now, it can be resolved right, but there's conflict. And at every level that I just mentioned, there's different opportunities. You might really enjoy the people at work, but at any given day, you might go in and there might be conflict at work, because there's differences. Why? Because we're humans, we're people. So human relationships always have potential to be a struggle. And there's always something that we need to be ready for in those struggles. We've got to be prepared. Now, by way of illustration, I ask you this question. Let's just imagine that somebody came along your path and they were in trouble. They needed help. They needed rescue. And let's just assume that you want to be able to rescue them. You want to be able to help them. But yet, at a given time, you're not prepared. You're not prepared with a lifeline. You're not prepared with that rope. You're not prepared with that safety element that they need. But that would be a devastating thing to have somebody come along that needs that help and we are not prepared. Folks, more and more there are people out there that are hurting. Do you know that? We live in a world where people are hurting. People are struggling, and from those problems, from those struggles, from that hurt, come problems, human relations. There's a reason why that person in your home is struggling. They're hurting. They're going through tough times. There's a reason why that person at work responds the way they respond to you tomorrow. There's a reason why they do. People are hurting out there. People are needy. People are going through difficult situations, and they're in great need of help. They're in great need of hope. And the question is, how would you respond if one day they asked you a spiritual question? Let's just take the work situation. You're there, and you normally get along with this individual, but you've noticed in the last couple weeks, let's say the last 2 weeks, this is a made-up situation, but in the last 2 weeks, they have just been edgy. They have been grumpy. They're not responding right. In fact, they've been very miserable and difficult to deal with. In fact, it's been so much that you're struggling going into work. You don't even want to face them. It's like, man, this person has just turned miserable. How would you respond to that individual if tomorrow going into work, they would ask you a spiritual question concerning the things of the Lord? Look down at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Now, I told you I'd get you into context. The end of chapter 2 was really dealing with human relations of, you know, being accused of something that you weren't wrong for. Oh, that's tough, right? You know, you say to that person at work, I didn't deserve this. You know, I didn't deserve you acting this way to me, and I didn't do anything to get on your wrong side, and yet they're taking it out on me. There's the work situation, end of chapter 2. The beginning of chapter 3, it's a spouse. Difficult situation, and God instructs on how to respond to that individual. And then it kind of gets broad in the next few verses on how to respond to those people and being very careful that we have a good testimony in front of them. And then we get to verse 15 where we're at. And this is what's mentioned in light of these turmoil, struggle, human relationships that you're struggling with. Again, home, spouse, work, neighbor, friend, whoever it is, you know, how to deal with that. And right in the middle of this, Peter is writing, of course, under the inspiration of God, and this is what he says concerning this relationship. He says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." You see, when a person is living through periods of struggle, trial, difficult situations, and there's confrontation with it, confrontation with these relationships, rather than fearing or struggling to see that person, God wants us to do two things that he's going to give us in this verse. So again, there's that conflict situation. Right now, think about the individual. And you say, some of you say, "My pastor, there's not anybody right now." But think about when there has, because there's been that struggle with everyone here. And there will be. What am I to do and how am I to respond in this? The first thing that God says is to sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Sanctify him. And that's an interesting thing. What does it mean to sanctify the Lord God in my heart? Well, let's look at the word sanctify just a moment. Do you understand what that word means? We don't use it in our everyday language. I don't use the word sanctify unless I'm talking about the Word of God on my own. But what does it mean to sanctify? To sanctify. To sanctify is to set apart. It's to take something and set apart. And in this case, it's the Lord God. It's our Master. It's set aside in Christ in our hearts. Now, setting aside. I can say that I'm going to set aside something, and in one way, that means I'm going to put it out of my mind. I'm going to set this aside. Do you think that that's what Peter is trying to say here? That we're supposed to, you know, with different human relations, set God aside. You think that's what he's saying? There's no way, okay? We're never to set God aside that way. So he's not saying that with setting him aside. What does he mean when he says to set him apart? To set him apart. What he's talking about here is not putting him aside, is actually put him in the very front. It's taking the Lord Jesus Christ, it's taking God himself and saying, okay, here's the struggle that I have at work. Here's the struggle that I have at home. Here's the conflict that I have with this person or this group of people. Here's the situation, and I don't know how to respond, and I don't know what I would do if they would come to me, but here's the situation. I'm going to take God, and I'm going to set him right here, and I'm going to make him my focus. In any situation that you have with human relationships, those people at work, those people at home, that husband, that wife, what we need to do, the first thing that he says here, is to set God apart. Pull him out of all of the situation in life and put him right in front of your eyes. I've got to sanctify him. I've got to take him aside, and I've got to focus on him. At home in our garage, we have some sort of not a lot of fancy tools, a few of them. But we have Ezekiel and I, mostly him, set up a kind of a little workshop there in our garage. And several years ago, he was able to acquire a lot of really nice wood, pieces that are just a certain size there, some really nice types of wood. I can't remember the different kinds that are there, but some really nice quality wood that he has, and he can make, and he used them for a good while making signs, and we have those. You know, it's an interesting process when you go out there and you want to pick a piece of wood for a specific purpose, and what you'll do, and if you can do this with anything, not just wood, but you go out there and you'll take some, and there's piles of this wood in order according to their different types, but you take a piece out of that and you look at it, and every piece of wood has its own uniqueness about it, right? There's certain grains that stand out in this piece from another piece. And of course, the species of wood is going to be different. You know, your oak is going to have a different grain than your pine is. And your pine is going to be different than the hickory that is there. And so the cherry wood is going to be altogether different. And you're going to look at each one of those and you're going to think through what you want for this project. You know, and the beauty of it, depending on where you want to put it. And as you go through it, you're going to look through a lot of pieces. You're going to say, I'm not sure about that one. Oh, I don't like where that knot is on that one. I don't like how the grain is so tight here. Maybe the grain on this piece is too spread apart. Maybe the coloring is going to be different. But you're going to look through each one of those, and then you're going to get one, and you're going to select one that is like, now this is what I'm looking for. And that piece out of all those others is going to be that piece. And that piece is going to be pulled out of the pile and is going to be set there on the bench. And now, very intricately, I'm going to take that piece and begin to mold and make that piece into the item that I want to create. And I will work and I will work and I will work to mold that piece and make that piece through sanding, through cutting, sawing, whatever it's going to be to make what I want to make out of it. Now, I gave that illustration because what we need to do when we are in a situation with the relationships in our lives, God is saying the first thing that you need to be careful to do is I want you to not so much select, but I want you to pull me out of the rest, and I want you to put me right in front of you on the bench. He says, I want you to sanctify me as God, as Master in your life. I've got to be the focus of our hearts. He said, sanctify him in your heart. It's a focus. It is a discipline to stick with. It's an understanding of how this is going to work. It's a studying of. It's a following of. It's a commitment to. And so while this difficult situation is taking place, it's the setting apart, it's the focus, it's the commitment to and on Christ in our hearts. Now we understand our hearts in a number of ways. When we look at the scripture, I don't know if even the word heart in scripture does ever refer to the internal organ that we have. Typically, the word heart in scripture is going to refer to who we are, our hearts. And there's a way, there's many ways we can divide that up. Some scriptures teach about our hearts in reference to our emotions. Maybe a happy heart or a heart that's encouraged. Okay, that's referring to our emotions, right? You know, our happy, our sad heart. You know, my heart was saddened. You know, when we talk about our hearts, we're talking about our emotions. You know, God says to sanctify him in our hearts. Do you realize in our emotions we're supposed to make sure and set God aside and to put him at the focus and make sure that our emotions are matching who he is? You've got to take your difficult human relations and kind of set those aside and put God in the beginning. And right here with my emotions, I've got to say, you know what? I've got to make sure my emotions match what this piece right here. Match God. Got to make sure that my emotions are going up and down. Folks, you got to be careful with following your emotions. Especially with the people around you that you're going through these difficult situations. Because if you follow the people, if you follow your emotions, what's going to happen? It'll be up and down. But God wants you to sanctify him. Set him in the foremost of your mind. With your emotions, your heart. Sanctify him in your heart. Set him apart in your heart. Our hearts are emotional. Our hearts are very thoughtful. Sometimes in the scriptures, we read about our hearts in avenue of thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart. Okay, so he's referring to the heart as our mind. In my mind, you know, our minds are all over the place, right? We can think a lot of different things. God says, I want you to sanctify, set me apart in your mind. My emotions need to be attached to God. My mind needs to be attached to God. It's dangerous to go into those human relationships with your mind wandering all over the place about what might happen and what might be and what might they do and what might they say and what am I going to say. God says, no, I want you to set apart me. Put me at the foremost of your thoughts. So you're thinking about this individual. No, go to God. You need to have him in your emotions. You need to have him in your thoughts. Our hearts have to do with our will and our decisions. You know, our heart chooses certain things. Our choices, our decisions in life need to be focused not on our desires and our things, but they need to be focused on who he is. And we could go on and on about our hearts, our intellect, what we know, what we study to know, what we value and treasure. You know, our hearts are closely associated in the scriptures with what we treasure and value. My heart is inclined to a certain thing. My heart longeth after something we want. You know, those desires. In all of these things with our human relationships, we need to set God. We need to put him at the focus of our emotions, our thoughts, our decisions, our wisdom and knowledge, our values, our discernment. It's a firm and committed focus on Christ with our thoughts, emotions, feelings, decisions, discernment, and values in the midst of all the difficult human relationships around us. And by the way, we cannot help anyone around us unless we sanctify God in our hearts. What's being said very simply, folks, is this. When you enter into those, when you get to work tomorrow morning, when you go home and there he or she is, when you go across the street and there they are, the first thing that Peter says, the first thing that God says that you need is you need to make sure that God is at the focus of everything in your life right now. By the way, what's the result if God is not the focus? What will happen? What will happen is I'm walking across the road, I'm getting ready to encounter, or I'm opening up the door at work, and I'm thinking, Lord help. If God is not in my thoughts, if God is not in my emotions, if God is not there with my discernment and my will, if God's not at my value center, what is prone to happen? Not only will it not work well, but you will not be ready. When all of a sudden you walk in and you're prepared for war, and that coworker says, what does it mean in the Bible? And you like fall over, like, Bible? I didn't even know you knew what a Bible was. Pastor, what does it mean, you know, when this verse, and you said, verse? I didn't know you read the Bible. And all of a sudden, that individual that's so nasty to you and so struggling with you, all of a sudden, they're asking you, what do I do, this situation in my life? And all of a sudden, they dump on you and they open up with some spiritual thing. And what are you going to say? And it's interesting that God prepares us here with this. Do you realize that in a number of situations in life, the reason why that individual is struggling so bad is because they're going through difficulties in life. They don't feel like they have hope. They don't feel like they have help. They don't feel like they have answers. They are in need right now, and that's why they've been so miserable. And then you enter in, and they ask a spiritual question. My friends, the first thing I want to tell you, if Jesus Christ is not the focus of your life, if he's not the center of your thoughts, if he's not the center of your value system, he's not the center of your emotions, you will fail when they ask you the question. We are not prepared to help the people in front of us when we're not walking with him. But there's another element that is mentioned here in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. He begins by saying, but sanctify, put at the focus the Lord God in your hearts. Make sure that he's there. And then he moves on, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, are you catching what this verse is saying? Again, this context here is struggle situation. Wherever and whoever it is, there's a struggle situation. And God says, make sure that you put me at the focus. And also make sure, as you put me as the focus, make sure that you're ready to give an answer. When that individual comes to you and says, why are you different? Why don't you get upset at the things that I get upset at? Why don't you respond to our boss this way? Why don't you act like that? My friends, I want to tell you something. Now, we could take a little bit of time. Look around at the verses before this. We're in verse 15. There's some things that are given here in this passage that kind of talk about, go back up to verse 8 and look at, he says, finally, be all of one mind, Now, he's given some things about relationships here. He said you need to be together in your mind. He says have compassion one of another. Now again, he's dealing with tough situations. You need to try to be together with them. You need to have compassion on these people. He says love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing. In other words, he says when they are contrary, when they are railing, when they are evil, he says, no, you have blessing. Knowing that ye are therein to call that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and not ensue it. See, he's going through all kinds of ways in which we are supposed to be living. That all is to be taken into consideration when we get to verse 15, because this person, in their conflict with us, they're not acting right. They're not acting godly. Whether they're saved or unsaved, whether they know Jesus Christ as their first Lord and Savior. By the way, folks, can I take a time out and say, do you know that is the most important thing in all of life in being able to do right, is knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior? Do you know, I'm even going to make a bold statement here. Do you know that it's impossible to continually, on a normal basis, it's impossible to do right without Jesus Christ inside of us? You say, Pastor, but there are people that don't know Jesus that do good things. You're right, they do. But they cannot continually please God if they don't have faith in God. Trust Him. If they're not placing their dependence, it's impossible to please God without faith. The Word of God teaches us. It's impossible to continually do that. But with God, it is possible, absolutely possible. The only reason why we wouldn't is because we don't want to. We're not willing to let Him help us. My friend, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it is impossible for you to continually do right. You've been wondering why you can't continually do right. You see, Jesus Christ has to live inside of you. The fact of the matter is that every one of us is a wicked, rotten sinner, deserving of hell. The book of Romans chapter 3 teaches us that. Romans 6 teaches us that there's a penalty for that. And we deserve hell. But God gave us a gift, and that's Jesus Christ, to come and to live inside of us and to be everything for us, to be our strength so that we could live the way that we need to live. And I want to encourage you, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you've never depended upon what He's done for you on the cross, if you have not done that, would you trust Him today? But you're here this morning and we're placing our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He says, listen, when you get into these situations, you've got to respond in a right way. And here it is. Then this is what he's getting to. And assuming that you have been responding in the right way, you've been caring, you've been compassionate, you've not just shot back when they've shot at you. You know, one day, it's kind of like what he's saying here is one day there's going to be an opportunity and you're struggling and you're about ready to open the door, and no matter who it is, it might be at home, it might be at work, it might be at that club, it might be, you know, at the grocery store, that it doesn't matter where it is, and you're like saying, I just wish that I could avoid them today, and you open up the door, and on the other side of that door there's a needy individual, and they're there with this. Can you tell me why you're so different? Now, we better be different or they'll never ask. You can never help people. You might want to help people. You might want to help the people in your home. You might want to help the people at church. You might want to help the people at work. You might want to help people, but can I tell you something? If you're not the individual that's responding right to God, you'll probably never have the opportunity to do it. What's assumed here is that you are living by faith and trusting in God, and then that person is going to come to you. Folks, it's a great compliment when somebody comes to you and needs help. It doesn't mean that we praise ourselves. It's all of God. But I'll tell you, it's a great compliment when somebody needs help. Why? Because obviously they see something different in you that you have the opportunity to help them. My friends, I want to tell you, you want to be able to help people, you've got to be living the verses that we just read. But then we get to verse 15. He says, you make sure that God is sanctified in your hearts. And he says, you be ready. You be ready, because one day you're going to open up that door and they're going to ask you what is so different. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. What's different about you? Why do you act this way? Again, great compliment. You're different than everybody else around here. And that's why I come to you. But I want you to tell me why. And my friend, I want to tell you something. What an opening of a door. My testimony has now opened the door wide open for the gospel. By the way, what is the hope that is in you? It's the gospel story. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ inside of your life. That's what's made a difference. It's not because I go to church. It's not because I'm a good person. It's not because I was baptized. It's not because I take communion. It's not because I even read my Bible. It's because the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed me from sin. He can change a person. He can save a person. And that person has noticed it, and now they come to you. You might look at them as an enemy. You might look at them as a rough person. But now they're saying, hey, I need to know something. What's the difference? What's your hope? Why do you act this way? God says to be ready. We need to be ready for that. Always ready. What a tremendous opportunity. You've got to focus on God. You've had a good testimony, and now being ready. What an opportunity. Every man that asketh you a reason, our hope in Jesus Christ, always ready, he says, always mentally prepared, always ready with a bridge statement that we use, you know, in Discovery Bible studies. We're supposed to think of things and how what God is leading us into, how we could use that in people's lives. Have things that you can transition into the gospel with. Always looking for an opportunity. Always expecting, get this one, always expecting an opportunity to witness. Do you realize a lot of times we don't because we're not looking for it? You have that bad relationship with that person at work. You come in expecting it to be bad that day. They come in and they even ask you that question. They say, hey, what does it mean, you know, when the preacher, you know, that I was listening to or I was reading my Bible and, you know, this verse asks, and your answer is simply like, I don't know, and you walk on. Do you realize what situation we just passed up? And yet some of us do that. It might not even be about the Bible. They might say, why are you so happy today? Do you know what they're really asking you? What's your hope? Why are you so different? But I'm going to tell you something. Now, I understand if you miss it that way, you probably didn't have the testimony before. I'm just saying here, we've got to be looking and expecting opportunities, because I want to tell you, one of these days, somebody's going to ask you a question, and we need to be ready to go right there with the gospel. the hope. These people need hope. The reason why they're so grumpy and those are contrary is because they need Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what we want. And that day that they asked that question, I'm so glad that you asked. I want to tell you how my life has been changed as well. Always ready for an answer, he says. Why we do what we do. Why we believe what we believe. Why we act the way we act. You see, some of us don't even know why. Why do you guys do this and you say, I don't know. God's word says we need to be ready to give an answer. We need to understand why we do what we do. That's why we need to hear the word of God. That's why we need to read the word of God. That's why we need to study the word of God. That's why we need to understand the word of God. And if we don't know, we need to be able to tell them that we'll find out. I don't have all the answers, but I possess someone and something that does. And I will get that answer for you so that you can know what that hope is and why there's a difference. I'm going to get you that answer. Right from the Word of God. Folks, we need to be ready. We need to be ready. Number one, we need to make sure that we're living the testimony. They need to see a difference in us. Day in and day out, because you don't know when that person is going to be at the end of their rope and they're going to come to you and ask. We need to be ready. We need to be that person that somebody would come to ask. It's amazing. You know, people may treat you a certain way, but you know, they know the reality. And if the reality is that you're a person that loves the Lord Jesus Christ, when that person gets in hot water, you'll probably be the one that they come to. We need to be ready that way. We need to be ready, making sure that God is at the center of everything. We'll miss the opportunity if God's not at the center. If we're so wrapped up in what they're doing, we're going to miss it. And we need to be ready to give an answer. When all of a sudden they say, come on, tell me, what is so different? That you're ready to tell them why you believe what you believe, why you do what you do. What an opportunity that we could have to share Jesus Christ with other people. The question is are you ready? Are you ready with the difficult people around you? Not looking them through beady eyes, but through eyes of compassion, just hoping and waiting. Lord, would today be the day that so-and-so would ask me what's so different? Could be the day make a difference in somebody else's life. Father, I pray that you would help us to be ready. To be ready. We live in a world where people are wanting answers. There's no doubt about that. God, just in the last, it seems like, month or two, it just seems like there's been so many people, even around me, that have been asking questions. I've been hearing about people they ask questions, they bring up this, they bring up that. And we have a wonderful opportunity to step right in with the gospel if we're prepared and ready. Lord, this morning we're asking for your help. But Lord, we know you're going to give it. But Lord, help us to be ready to give truth, to give that love, to give the gospel of Jesus Christ to these people. Lord, would you help us? Thank you that you made a difference in our lives. May we live that difference. May it be inviting to the rest of the world so that we can make a difference. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.